Turn to Matthew chapter 13 with me this morning. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, look down at verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. And the servant said unto him, will thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. May God bless the reading of his word. It's springtime. It's time to be sowing seeds. Thought I'd kind of appropriate. I'm going to talk about a mixed-up church today. A mixed-up church. May we pray. Loving God, our Father, we bow before you this morning to present ourselves to the Holy God, the Eternal God, who has invited all of us to come unto your throne of grace, that we might receive forgiveness of our sins, that we might receive daily cleansing because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're such a needy people. Help us to see ourselves as nothing, unworthy. But help us to also know the truth of the gospel, that you love us all so much. You gave your best to redeem us by sending your only Son, that you might have a people to be your people for eternity, and that you have invited everybody to be a part of it. And whoever would call on the name of the Lord would be saved. Help us today as we stand before this congregation. May your word speak to every one of our hearts to encourage and challenge. And may we all examine our own selves as to how we are before you today. I pray, help me, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. In this parable, Jesus gives us a picture of true religion and false religion, if you'll think about it a little bit. We see there's two kind of people in the world, only two kind. There's God's people and Satan's people. But don't forget, we were all Satan's people till we were saved, every one of us. That kind of goes along with our lesson today in the Sunday school hour. We only became God's people when we saw our need for salvation in Jesus Christ. And then God makes us his own people. I was looking at some statistics. Listen to this. Did you know 62% of people believe Jesus will return and judge all people? Just 62% believe that in our country. 56% believe there is a hell. Only 56% of people in our country believe there's a hell. Boy, them others are going to get a surprise, aren't they? 44% have no idea where they'll go when they die. Boy, that's sad, isn't it? 44% of people don't know what's going to happen to them when they die. But 2% believe they'll go to hell. 2% believe they'll go to hell. 69% of churchgoers believe everyone will go to heaven. Now listen to that one. Let me say that again. Listen. 69% of churchgoers believe everyone will go to heaven. There's a lot of people don't know what the Bible says, aren't they, folks? There are saved people and there's unsaved people. And sometimes the outward look does not determine who is who. You can't always look at someone and tell whether they're saved or not. You might think so-and-so is saved, but they may not be. To the disciples, Judas Iscariot looked like he was saved. Everybody thought he was saved. What about in the Jews' religion in the days of Christ, even today? They all think they're saved people. But they're not. But they think they are. You think you're saved? I hope you are. Only the Lord knows that. That's the reason the Bible tells us to examine ourselves. See if you be in the faith. Or are you just a church member? Are you just a religious person? That's the reason I'm talking on a mixed up church. Folks, when that rapture happens, if the rapture would happen today on the Lord's day, and it was possible that the Lord would let you stay here just to go around and look at all the churches everywhere before you went up, you'd be surprised how many are still in church. They got religion. Some of them got Baptist religion. This parable that we have shared with you is a picture of the organized church today. The man went out and planted some wheat, but the tares come up and they looked alike for a while. So in the church, a lot of people look just alike. All the people look just like they're saved people, worshiping the Lord. Let me ask you something this morning. Every one of you, look up here at me. Are you really worshiping the Lord here today? Amen. Praising the Lord today? Thanking the Lord today? That's what you're supposed to be doing when you come to church. Come here to thank the Lord. He'd save you. And to make it more clear, it's more evident we're in the last days of the church when we got so many people that's not in church and a lot of people that's just, they got religion. It's especially these big mega churches and a lot of the smaller churches. And think of all the cult churches that's not saved people in them. They got religion. Was it last Sunday I talked about Satan's church?
Yes, sir.
See? He's even got a church. You think Satan's church crowd's going to heaven? Huh? Jesus gave us this parable of wheat and tares out in the same field. I remember Daddy would fix his field out on the farm. That field would look so pretty, you know, it's level. Then he'd go out there and have a bucket under his arm, and Daddy would walk across that field with them wheat or the oats, just throwing it out like that. There weren't no grass or anything. Boy, a few days, the wheat started coming up. Wait a minute. Something else started coming up too. He didn't sow that other stuff. Old biker bed's the same way. Boy, it used to make me so mad to have to hunker down, pick them weeds off that biker bed. Some of y'all don't know nothing about that. I hated that job, getting weeds, squatting. Jesus said that sower went out and sowed some good seed. But later someone come along and had some tares sowed among the good seed. That's the old devil. He does that in churches. That's my point I'm making today. You know where the unsaved come from in the churches? A lot of times, sometimes, not all the time, the devil sends them. I'll tell you why in a minute. Sometimes Jesus sends them. He wants them to get saved. Just stay with me. Every farmer would like to have his crop free of grass and weeds. Brother Chavis, wouldn't you like your farm to be full of grass and weeds, son? Look, think about the effort it takes to keep out the weeds and the grass on a farm. That's an expensive and time-consuming job. It's a constant fight with the farmers to keep his field free from the enemies of his crop, the weeds and the grasses. They take up the nutrients from the soil that the crops need. That's why they're so aggravating. And having been raised on a little farm, I know how it is to hoe and plow to keep the grass and the weeds out of what we planted. And I have this question. As much as I've hoed, and the farmers have hoed, and now we got chemicals, and we got just as much grass as there's ever been, you can't get rid of it. For the church, it's important that ministers and teachers of the Bible keep presenting the Word of God to the congregation. Because in a congregation, you got saved people and usually unsaved people. And it's important that we keep preaching the gospel, keep preaching the Word, because even us saved people need to keep hearing it. We need to keep having it beat into our hearts, into our mind. And the unsaved, they need to hear it because they can't help themselves. They're blind. And only the Word of God and the Spirit of God can open their eyes.
Amen.
I can't open them. That's what Jesus' point is in this parable. Everything yellow is not gold. The Pharisees of Jesus' day, they knew they were God's children. Only because of they were a descendant from Abraham. But they weren't God's children, not in a new birth experience. It's sad to think you're saved and you're not saved. That's going to be a shocking surprise when they die. And churches of every descript today, so, with so many points of views today, it got people confused and deceived. Every church member is not saved. They're not born again. The only question is, are you? Do you know you've repented? Do you know you've trusted Christ? Do you know you're trusting Jesus? Do you know there's not a thing about you that deserves salvation? Satan has planted among the organized church those who have religion and who are unsaved. First of all, he don't like the church because it's against him. He wants to damn everybody. Sometimes Satan puts people in the church to be a gossiper. Keep stirring up trouble. Get on that phone. Strow news. Sometimes they cause division in the church. How many people in church has been run off by other so-called Christians? People leave churches crying because other Christians, so-called Christians. You shouldn't let somebody run you off, though. Sometimes people come to the church to present liberal interest. We had a guy come out here one time. He wanted to have donut sales, car washes, stuff like that. Hey, folks, you don't find that in the Bible. You come out here to worship God. You come out here to learn how to serve God. This is not a business. This is a spiritual work. And there's not a one of us that, but what don't need to be here or in a similar place where they're preaching the word. Sometimes Satan has people in churches to run a God-fearing minister off. Some churches can't keep a good preacher because of who's running that church. Listen. You're not supposed to run to church. I'm not going to run to church. The Lord's supposed to run to church. He's the head of the church. I'm not the head. The deacon's not the head. The congregation's not the head. Christ is the head. Sometimes God sends people to church so they'll get saved. Somehow, somebody's witness to somebody out there, and so they finally decide they come to the church and God gets to save them. Amen? But my point today in my message is the devil will send people to church. It causes problems in the church. It keeps it from being what it ought to be. A church is supposed to be a place where the gospel is preached and where were you getting it out? That's what we try to do out here. Well, it's a little crowd, but we're trying to get it out too. If we know anything about farming, we know what a difficult job it is to raise crops. Having a church is the same way. You got to stay with it. You've got to keep prodding along. I'll tell you what, I can only speak for my dad's family. But we got up every morning with a hoe in our hand, or a rake in our hand, or to follow a mule all day at our house. It was 6 days a week. Sunday we went to church. Every Sunday we went to church. Come Monday morning, you were headed for the field. If it's raining, you go into the pack house, shuck corn, make feed meal or bread for the house. We worked. The church, we got to work. We got to always be faithful to the Lord. You can't lay down and not be a witness. You got to be faithful all the time, wherever you're at. On the job, if you got a job. You got to be a Christian on the job. You got to be a Christian down at the store. You got to be a Christian in church. That's trying to learn something about God, His Word. You know what I'd like to see today? I don't see it going on. It might be. But I see in some churches, people's writing down and taking notes. I tell you one thing about Mr. Chavis's daughter. That girl's got her notepad out when she's listening to this old stumbling, bumbling preacher. She's writing down notes. She's trying to learn. I see it on Adrian Rogers. Of course, I know why that's true, Brother Chavis. Because he's saying something. Maybe I'm not saying anything. Satan's going to do all he can to lessen the effect of the gospel. That's what he's going to do, folks. You got an enemy. You come here today and you feel so safe, so secure, so comfortable. It's nice in here, isn't it? Somebody could come through that door right now. Boy, y'all wouldn't look so nice and pretty and quiet. The old devil could send somebody through that door. Change the atmosphere in here right quick, couldn't he, Brother Johnny? We ought to be praising God while we're sitting here. Thanking God while we're sitting here. Worshiping God. Looking at my own heart. What's wrong with my heart? What do I need to clean up in my heart? Studying the Bible all the years I have, and every day I see what's inside of me. It makes me sick. That's the reason why our Sunday school lesson today said, without the righteousness of Christ, you're doomed. Because we don't have any righteousness. And when you're not in church, I don't know how you figure you're going to make it. I come all the time, and I still need it. You ever feel like you need it? The hindrance of the gospel is Satan's work. Keep you out of the Bible, out of church, out of God's will. That's Satan's working in your life, church. I'm here to warn you. I'm here to tell you. I'm here to challenge you. That's my job. The hindrance of the gospel is what Satan does. So these religious people in churches today are serving the purposes of Satan, and they don't know it. Today we got some women preachers. You know what? You can go through this Bible. There ain't a woman preacher in the Bible. The Bible said about the women to be quiet in church. So how are they going to preach if they got to be quiet? Amen. We've got gay ministers today. The Bible says they're an abomination to God, and yet they're ministers. We got lesbian ministers. That's women ministers. Abomination to God, and they're ministers? In churches, folks. You know what this is? Religion. They got religion. And they think, I got this as much right as anybody else. Well, on judgment, they will see what kind of rights they got. The God I serve is a holy God. He's a holy God. In this parable, Jesus gives us of the wheat and the tares. In the beginning, they look just alike. So you could have a church full of people. You could have nobody saved in it, but they're there. Or you could have some saved in it. Only God knows that. You know what I'd like? I'd like the church to be full every Sunday with people that I could try to preach to. Then it's up to God to get them converted. And it's up to them to believe it or not. But what I'm saying is Satan will send some people just to cause the church not to be what it ought to be. That's what I'm trying to get my point about. That's the reason maybe a lot of churches are liberal today. Got too many of Satan's people in them. We built this church out here to be a Bible church. This is a Bible church, and it's for anybody. I don't care what they look like. Come. You're invited. But if you come, I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm not going to lighten up on the ammunition. Amen? We're supposed to preach the word. I don't have a message myself. And I need it myself. Amen. See, I guess it before y'all do. Because I had to study. The Bible says, but while men slept, an enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And then he went away. That's the way the devil operates. The devil gets something started and then he runs off and hides. Amen. The disciples didn't know Judas was not like one of them. They thought he was just like they were. They thought he'd be faithful. You know, Judas was out performing miracles. Think about that. And he never was saved. But he could do that. I wonder how shocked those disciples were when they found out about their fellow disciple. Don't you know that was a heartbreaking experience to find out they had one like that among them that would betray their Lord. In our churches, people want to receive as many true believers as possible. That's what we want. We want true believers out here. We want people to come out here. Let's love the Lord. Let's serve the Lord. Let's share the Lord. Let's get out the word of the Lord. That's every pastor's dream. That's what God wants. Working together, loving together, serving together, sharing together, involved together. Building up Christ's kingdom. We want a Bible church to preach and teach people God's word. But the enemy don't want this to happen. He wants to keep you at home or somewhere else. That's the devil's job. The devil's faithful. He'll keep you somewhere else. And you can be a Christian somewhere else, possibly, but you won't be effective. You won't be growing. And let's always remember this. How faithful you are will determine if you get any rewards when you get to heaven. You can be in heaven and be poor by the standards of heaven. Because if you don't do anything for the Lord, you're not going to have anything when you get there but salvation. And you're not going to come over to some other faithful Christian and get any of theirs. Mr. Chavis ain't going to let you have any out of his wheelbar. Amen. You know, Satan is going to place those there who will create or stifle the effectiveness of the gospel. How can he do this? Let me just share a couple of things. How many churches here a while back had a lot of baseball teams, softball teams? They could get a crowd to play ball. You ever read in the Bible, you ought to play ball at church? You know, some of the churches today, they play in pool and cards and things like that. Y'all know that's going on? Did you know even some of the churches today, they get back there and they drink wine, beer? Y'all know that's going on, churches? You know, churches got gymnasiums today. What does a church need a gymnasium for? You should be getting exercise in your soul is what you need. Amen. That's where you need exercise in your soul. Hey, and bus trips. Get us a big, nice bus so we can go on trips. Yeah. No wonder so many of them wreck on the highways already. Plate sales. Let's have a plate sale. Raise money for the Lord. Hey, folks, the Lord don't need you to go cook food to raise money. Hey, just reach back there and get it. Don't. Just give it freely. Amen. I don't want no chicken and pasta, no way. Amen. Boy, we're going to raise money and have a plate sale. Car washes. We'll wash your car. Hey, I got two trucks and a car at the house. You can wash any time. Amen. But not in the name of the church. Not in the name of the church. Hey, folks, listen. Come out of your own heart and do things for the church. Don't have to sell a plate or donuts. A lot of them like to sell donuts. Boy, if anything we need is a big donut, ain't it? Amen. I like them Krispy Kremes. I don't know what was happening at Dunkin' Donuts this week. One day, early that morning, they were lined up to the highway and all the way around Dunkin' Donut all day long. I don't know what they were having, a special. I weren't going to call you and tell you, because I never seen so many donuts going out that door in my life. Oh, listen to me, church, you need church. Amen. And you need to hear the word of God at church. Amen. That's what church is about. Coming to worship the Lord, learn about the Lord, learn how to serve the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm nothing, but if you can use me, I'm available. If you'll just use me, He'll use you. He really will. He won't turn you down. He wants to use you. best thing for your heart is let the Lord use you. Thank you, Johnny, you let the Lord use you, son. Amen. Let the Lord use you. I know some of the rest of the Lord's use. I just call it Johnny. He's using others. But he'll use you if you're not letting him use you. The religious church members quenched the work of the Lord. I said religious. They can rob the church of its joy and excitement in the things of Christ. We're supposed to be together. We're supposed to be together. Did you know, you see that piano sitting over there? Nobody don't play it. But you know people that sit on a piano bench in churches has caused more problems in churches than you can count on a stick? I seen a woman voted in to play the piano, and the former piano player went and rooted her off the seat and took over anyway in a church. Let me tell you something. You ain't the most important one out here. I'm not the most important one out here. We're out here to serve Christ, folks. Do what Christ wants. Do you want what Christ wants? That's the question. Jesus said unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You know what? That's the Great Commission, and it's not just to me. It's to you too, if you're saved. If you're saved, that applies to you as much as it does to me. We're to work together to get out the gospel. That's what we're trying to do at our church. Here's what Jesus said I'm going to do with the tares one day. And spiritually speaking, this will be what will happen to the church members too. As we relate church members that's unsaved to tares. Here's what Jesus said I'm going to do. The servant said unto him, will thou then that we go and gather them up, the tares, the church members? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat and with them too. Let them grow together. Let the church members and the real Christians come together. Keep hearing the word. Keep listening. You just keep preaching to them. You just keep preaching. He said, let both grow together till the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I'm going to say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, the unsaved, and bind them in bundles to burn. But gather the wheat into my barn. Amen. You see, God knows it's between the saved people and the unsaved. And God says, I'm going to let Christians and non-Christians come together. Some of them can look like they're saved if they want to. They can be pretending to be members of the church. They might even be joined the church, but they're still unsaved. But God says, just wait. That day's coming. I'm going to separate them. And I'm going to take mine, and I'm going to bring them home with me. And that's the reason I'm saying today, are you saved? Do you know you're saved? Have you really trusted Christ? Are you really trying to live for the Lord today? Think about it, church. Are you really trying to live for the Lord? Amen. But there are some of you that believe not, Jesus said. I'm just reading the scriptures. There are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should obey him. And he said, therefore I say unto you that no man can come unto me unless it's given to him of my Father. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You know, sometime when the preacher gets down on it, I ain't going back there more because I believe he was talking to me. I didn't like the way he said that. Folks, listen, I'm trying to help people. I'm trying to get people to realize you need to be saved. I'm trying to get people to realize God wants to use you. I'm trying to help people realize God loves them so much. He wants them to be working in his kingdom. Get busy doing something. Find time. Some people are not going to follow Jesus the way he says. It's true when he was here, and it's still true today. Jesus, God gives Jesus real believers, but Satan attempts to sneak in imposters. But the Lord knows the difference. Jesus said in John 10:47, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and listen to this, and they follow me. Who you following? Who you following? In this parable, Jesus said, just let the tares grow along with the wheat, and maybe some of the tares will get saved. The unsaved might get saved if to keep hearing the gospel. My job is a pastor, a preacher. Just keep preaching the word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever makes no difference. For God so loved the world, the whole world of mankind, that whoever would believe in him would have everlasting life. Aren't you glad God's a God that loves everybody, and he's offering everybody the same opportunity? Isn't that amazing? He's offering it to everybody. But you have been given the right. I've been given the right. All people have been given the right. If you want to be saved, you can be. If you don't, that's your choice. You'll get to decide where you spend eternity. Thank you for listening to our message today. God has provided salvation. That whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. For whosoever shall deny me before men, you don't accept Jesus? Jesus said, I'll deny him before my Father. Everybody can make their own choice. They make their own decision. And the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. The day you hear the opportunity to be saved is the time right then for a person to get saved. Is there someone in this church today who's not saved? I don't know. I'm not the judge. I'm just preaching the word. You might look like you're saved. I don't know. But if there's someone here that's not saved, you're not sure, today's the day to make it right. You're here today and you know you've been saved. You're trusting Jesus. Hey, pray for this church. We open up the altar every Sunday. Come pray. Come to the altar. Pray. Special place. Sanctified place. Come pray. Pray that God would use you. Use you. He don't use us all alike. He has different things for all of us to do. But get busy serving him. Don't be a lackadaisical Christian, an indifferent Christian. Be a busy Christian. That's what he wants to do, use you. Lord God, speak to hearts today. I've tried to preach your word the best I could, Lord. Only the Spirit of God can bring fruit. Only the Spirit of God can embrace a heart, Lord, and move it, woo it. Have your will in every one, I pray. And we pray always in our precious Savior's name. Amen and amen. Lord, speak to hearts. You'd like to come to the altar this morning? You'd like to come talk to us about the Lord today? Whatever. It's your time today to make decisions. Make decisions for the Lord.